There you go, Pastor.
Thank you. You can be seated. Galatians chapter 1. The good thing about a new song is if you don't know the tunes, all right, make one up, you know. Just make it up. Sing it the way you want to. Who will know the difference? If somebody looks at you strange, you just tell them you're singing a different part, you know. Said, well, are you singing soprano, alto, or bass? And you said, neither one. It's a different part. All right, you know, just so you can kind of do it on your own there. Galatians chapter 1, if you will, this evening. Galatians chapter 1, we want to begin reading verse 6. The Bible says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. I really want to preach to you tonight on preaching, all right? Preaching to please. In many venues today, preaching is no longer considered important. Now, I use the word venue on purpose. Because a lot of places that they would say it's a church, but it's hard to tell, okay? So in a lot of venues, preaching's no longer really considered important. It's been replaced in numerous instances by a lot of different things. Some have replaced it with teaching. By the way, teaching is good. Teaching is good. I think his brother Oftedal said that if you're going to preach and you preach, you will teach some. And when you're teaching, if you're getting after it, you're going to preach a little too, all right? And so there's probably great truth in that. So teaching's good, but it doesn't take the place of preaching. Some people don't call it preaching. They say, well, we're communicating. We're communicating. I went to a meeting one time mainly to see what was going on, and the fellow who was going to speak was advertised as a great communicator. Sometimes it even's just rapping with the audience on some subject, all right? And instead of standing and proclaiming the truth of the gospel, what you get is casually dressed people that come out, sit on a stool, and just sort of chat with the audience a little bit, you know, and try to develop a rapport with them. Well, look, has its place, all right, I suppose. But the truth of the matter is, all of that's really just merely a sign of the time in which we live. Don't lose your place here in Galatians, but go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I believe that all the reason that preaching has lost its favor with so many people is because we've arrived at the time that Paul said was coming in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, when he said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They will not endure sound doctrine. I believe we live in a time like that, and because of that, I believe we live in a time when a lot of people don't care very much for preaching. And so we see preaching being swapped out for a lot of different things. And now I'll be honest with you, I hope that preaching will always have a prominent place at First Baptist Church, Haltom City. I hope we never get to the point where we think, hey, that's not the main thing. Now, I love good singing. I love good singing. I like to do it. I like some, probably not all that good, but I like it, all right? I like singing and I like music, but I don't want it to take the place of preaching. Amen. It doesn't. It wasn't meant to do that. Shouldn't do that. I like to hear a good Bible teacher. and I enjoy learning that, but it doesn't take the place of preaching, because preaching pleases God. Preaching pleases God. Look, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and drop down there in chapter 1 to verse 21, would you? I said preaching pleases God. Verse 21 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says, "For that after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. God still calls people to preach, all right? God still calls men to preach. And it's an important calling. It is something that God does, and it is all His doing. And the Bible says it pleases God. Preaching pleases Him. Preaching was and is, God was and is pleased to use, if you will, preaching to save those that'll hear it and heed the Word of God. That's what He uses. I'll be honest with you. When we go out individually, or we go out as a group, we go out two by two, or you go out by yourself, and you reach in your pocket maybe and you pull out a gospel tract, you hand it to someone, and you begin to relate to them how to be born again, the truth of the matter is what you're doing is preaching to them. Right. You're preaching to them. Now, you're not standing behind a pulpit. You're not in a church service, but you're preaching one-on-one to that individual. And that's what God uses. God uses that. There in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, back up to verse 17. Here's the testimony of Paul. He said, "For Christ sent me not to baptize." That must come as a shock to the Church Christ brethren. All right, but he said, "He sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." Now, Paul said, God sent me to preach. God called me to preach. He said, that's what I was sent for. Hey, I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, God called me to preach. I believe that. I'm glad He did, and I'm glad to be involved in that thing, in this thing called preaching. It's important. Now, you'll notice in verse 21, the Bible refers to the foolishness of preaching.
Right.
The foolishness of preaching. When you think about it, there is some, just the very just thought of it is, here I am trying to convince you or trying to convince folks to trust somebody I've never seen.
Right.
And they've never seen. And I've just taken a book, taken what that book says, and believed it, and trying to encourage you to believe that that book was written by somebody that nobody that's alive today has ever seen, and trying to get you to go to a place you've never seen.
Amen.
You say, well, it's a little bit of foolishness. Well, the Bible says the foolishness of preaching. But I want you to notice who the Bible says considers it foolishness. Look at verse 18. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish."
Right.
Foolishness. Hey, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto them which are saved, it is the power of God.
Amen.
Oh, what a difference. What a difference it is, all right? What a difference it is between those who believe it and those who, if you will, reject it. Those who live and those who perish.
Amen.
Hey, to those that perish, it is foolishness. Why? Because those who perish disregard it. They consider it to be foolish. They consider it to be foolish. How can you believe that kind of stuff? You run into more and more people do, or I do, out knocking on doors that profess to be an atheist.
Right.
And they try to impress you with their brilliant reasons for not believing. Okay? Yeah. That unbeliever, that one who perishes, he'll heckle the preacher. He'll disdain the preacher. He'll ignore the preacher and sometimes even insult the preacher.
Right.
But it doesn't change the truth of what is preached.
Amen.
Doesn't change it. Doesn't change it a bit. Hey, listen, there are people today in a society known as the Flat Earth Society. And it has its members and advocates that would tell you the earth is not round. Well, that's fine. But it doesn't change the truth.
No.
Doesn't change the truth. There's people today that would tell you man never went to the moon. That was all just a stage thing, you know, and done with, you know, on a movie set and all that kind of stuff. That's fine. But I'm here to tell you, when I was on the moon, I saw the foot. Okay, I was kidding about that. Hey, the truth of the matter is, it doesn't matter whether you accept the truth, doesn't change the truth. Doesn't change it at all. A person that gets out here and proclaims the foolishness of the preaching of the cross, and some even refer to it as that bloody religion, hey, it doesn't change the truth of preaching.
Amen.
And it doesn't change the truth that God was pleased to use preaching to win and to reach those people that'll believe.
Right.
Hey, that was God's method. God's method. Now here's the problem. Back in Galatians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul, writing here to the churches there in Galatia, he said this in verse 6. He said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. I'm going to tell you, there's some perverted preaching. There's some perverted preaching. The apostle here writing says it's they have another gospel. They have another way to heaven, if you will. Hey, another plan instead of God's plan.
Right.
Another plan instead of God's plan. Look, that's perverted preaching.
Amen.
Perverted preaching. Now, there's a great deal of it that goes on. There's a great deal of that that takes place in our day across this country. Hey, listen, you tune into so-called Christian radio and Christian television, and if you'll listen closely, you'll hear a lot of perverted stuff.
Amen.
It's just not biblical, and it's been twisted. And Paul said, hey, you know what? I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. He said, how can you get pulled away from that? And it's interesting to see. It's always been interesting to see to me how people get reached by a church. And I know it's not just happened with folks that we've seen in First Baptist. It happens to people everywhere in churches. You work and you work and you reach someone for Christ. That person gets saved and they begin to come to church.
Right.
And then it's amazing who shows up and knocks on their door.
Yeah.
Just amazing who shows up. It's amazing how, boy, it seems like the next week the Jehovah's false witness come by,
right,
and say, hey, man, we'd like to have Bible study with you. Well, here's a new believer. They're not ready. They're not, hey, it's so easy to pull them away. It's amazing how Satan sends somebody like that by. It's amazing how the next week, two finely dressed, sharp-looking fellows knock on their door, and they're from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Hey, perverted preaching. Perverted preaching. A lot of that takes place. I've always been amazed at how many people get saved, start coming to church, and then all of a sudden their kinfolks take an interest in them.
Right.
Well, we want you to come to our church.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when they were going to hell, you left them alone.
Amen.
And you were willing to let them go to hell. It's always amazed me how the old devil uses that. Hey, listen, a lot of perverted preaching. Listen to me, since salvation is only through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let me say that again. Since salvation is only through Jesus Christ. It's not through any organization. It's not through any church. It's not through any baptistry. It's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Then any salvation plan that leaves him out,
right,
is obviously a perverted gospel. Obviously a perverted gospel. The Muslim faith has a perverted gospel.
Right.
perverted gospel. Because in that faith, according to what they preach and they teach, you can get to heaven without going through Jesus Christ. Perverted gospel. Hey, because salvation's only through Him. Only through Him. I think about the Mormon faith. The Mormon faith has a perverted gospel that adds works to that which is by grace through faith. The Bible says we're saved by grace through faith. You start adding stuff to that, then you've got a perverted gospel. If you begin to add works, you add anything else, you've got a perverted gospel, plain and simple. Let me just say it. Hey, any preaching that low rates Jesus Christ. Remember what the Bible says? He's preeminent. What is it? Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 verse 18. The Bible says, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. You get them anybody and anywhere, any dogma, any doctrine that low rates the Lord Jesus Christ one bit is a perverted gospel. Perverted gospel. But it seems to go hand in hand. When you low rate the Lord Jesus Christ, they want to elevate, if you will, the place of man.
Right.
And they want to lift man's up and his ability and what he can do and how much he can add to that process. When you do that, you've got a perverted gospel.
Yeah.
Hey, it's not what man can do, it's what God's done. What we can do is accept what He's done. Paul said, I'm amazed that you get pulled away from that. And then he emphasizes, he said, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And then he said, if you didn't get it again, I'm going to repeat it. And he said it again in verse 9. He said, I want you to be sure you understand. He said, because do we now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Let me say this. All preaching doesn't please God. That which purposes to please men doesn't please God. Just doesn't do it. Now, there's a lot of that kind of preaching going on today. A lot of preaching done to make you feel good. Make you feel good. Pat you on the back, tell you everybody's okay. Every time I think about this, I can't help it. I think about a book I was forced to read when I went to college in psychology class. And the title of the book, I'll never forget, was I'm Okay, You're Okay. Hey, the truth of the matter is, I'm messed up and so are you.
Amen.
All right, we all are.
Right.
But boy, today, we don't want that. That's why today you hear so much positive preaching.
Right.
All right, positive preaching. Norman Vincent Peale was famous for the power of positive thinking. Robert Schuller out in Garden Grove, California, had the big Crystal Cathedral. Great crowds at one time came to hear him speak. He talked about the great power of possibility thinking. And didn't want to go around saying you were a sinner. Now here's a problem. Here's a problem. Do you know what the gospel is? Do you know what the gospel is? The Bible says the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, y'all are thinking people. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want to ask you this. How many of those have a positive connotation? Death? Oh, yeah. Well, no, maybe not. Yeah, well, that's not a positive thing. Death is always considered negative, and it's always considered, hey, we try to avoid that. Okay, well, burial, nothing positive there. Hey, do you realize out of the gospel, there's only two-thirds of it's negative. Only one-third, the only thing's positive is the resurrection. The rest of it is negative. But I'm here to tell you, had he not died, he couldn't have been resurrected. He wouldn't needed to be resurrected. Had he not been buried, he couldn't have been resurrected. I just want you to see, man, this idea that we can't preach anything negative. We don't want to injure anybody's ego. Man, some of our ego needs to be injured. It needs to be a big hole stuck in it to deflate that ego. And but we're so afraid of it, you know. Don't say anything negative. I get around those people that are counselors, and they're always so, oh man, you're so brave, you're so strong, you're so. I'm going, oh man. I just want to lean over and say, you looking at the same person I am? No, we're weak.
Right.
We're weak. But it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ that there's anything about us that's worthwhile.
Amen.
Hey, boy, we need to realize you can't preach the gospel without preaching some negative stuff.
Amen.
You have to do it. Have to be some negativity in it. I've said it a multitude of times before, you can't get a person saved until you get them lost. And today that's more and more difficult because people think, I'm all right. I'm not a bad guy. I'm not a bad individual. I'm a pretty good person. Hey, you've got to get that negative before we can get the positive in there, all right?
Amen.
Listen, all preaching doesn't please God. A lot of what passes for preaching across our land today doesn't please God. There's no negative to it. It's all a positive thing. It's more of a, it's almost like motivational speaking rather than preaching, okay? Let me show you. Take your Bible there in Galatians chapter 1, all right? Galatians chapter 1, I want you to look at verse 12. I believe this is the only kind of preaching that does any good and it pleases God. Paul said, "For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." I'm going to tell you something. That which pleases God, that preaching that pleases Him, is centered upon the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's centered upon what's revealed to us in His book. It's what's revealed to us by the Holy Spirit of God as we study God's book. It's His revelation, all right? It's His revelation. And by the way, it is only the revelation of Jesus Christ that really pleases man. Now you stay with me just a moment, would you? It's only the revelation of Jesus Christ that really pleases man. Because I submit to you that other kind of preaching may make a person feel good for a while. But it doesn't leave him with lasting results. Doesn't stick with you. It's a temporary thing. If you go into sales, you're going to go and hear a lot of motivational speaking. There's a person that I know that is involved in that kind of work, and I see a lot of what's posted on Facebook. And it's these catchy sayings. And they're all meant to pump you up. They're all meant to make you feel good and say, you can get out there, you can do it, you can win, you can be a victor, and all that. You know what? That's encouraging. It can pump you up, but I want to tell you something. It's only a temporary fix to what you need. And these folks that go to that church and these churches across our land today that never give any negativity, if you will, they wind up out there, they leave feeling good, but that feel good wears off. It's a temporary fix. Man needs more than that. Man needs more than a temporary fix. I want to tell you, just thinking about folks that were in the Bahamas, there's missionaries in the Bahamas. You know, I got a feeling they needed more than some motivational words when that storm was stuck over the Bahamas. They need a lot more to hang on to than just some words to make them feel good. They needed more than that. I want to tell you, it's the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ that causes man to realize he needs help. He needs help, and he can't help himself. That comes from the Word of God. The Bible says man's a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hey, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Well, that's encouraging. No, but you see, we've got to get to that point where we realize, you know what? I need some help.
Right.
I need some help. I can't help myself. It's not in me. The Bible tells us over in Jeremiah, it's not in man that liveth to direct his steps. We have a hard time. We can't do that. We need something else. We need some help that comes from out there to help us. Well, it's the preaching of the Word of God. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ that comes in and puts the finger on it and says, there's your problem. It's a sin problem.
Amen.
The problem in our country today. All the problems boil down to a sin problem. Hey, we've turned our back on God. We've decided man's the measure of all things. No, he's not. Hey, we need God. It's the revelation then of the Lord Jesus Christ that cleans us up.
Amen.
That cleans us up. David knew he needed cleansing when he had sinned. Look over there in the 51st Psalm, would you? The 51st Psalm. Very famous words. And just remind you of them, all right? In that 51st Psalm, David, hey, he had sinned and he realized, I need to be cleaned up. Verse 7, he said, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. He said, I need to be cleaned up. Listen, it's the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ that cleans you up. Ephesians 5, verse 26, talking about being cleansed by the washing of the water of the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Hey, it's the Word of God that affects that cleansing, that works in us. It's the Word of God that cleans our life up. Where does that come from? That's why we need to be preached to from the Word of God. Hey, don't forget it. When a man responds to the preaching of the gospel, he'll be pleased forevermore. If we'll just respond to it, you'll never regret accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. You will never get to the point and say, wish I hadn't have done that. Man, there's a lot of things in my life that I could say, I wish I hadn't have done that. I just wish I'd have done differently than I did. But I want to tell you, that night years and years ago when I was a nine-year-old boy on that Sunday night, when I stepped out and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior on that Sunday night, First Baptist Church of Tice, Florida, I've never regretted that decision. Ever. Ever. It made a life change in me. Completely. Why? Because I responded to the gospel. Now remember what I said? There's some preaching that doesn't please God. But preaching does please God. But preaching is the only thing, and it's only the revelation of Jesus Christ that really pleases men. Because it's when we accept what God has said and we let it work in our life, that's when we find real satisfaction. That's when we find real fulfillment. That's when we realize, hey, I know why I'm here. I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm just supposed to get after it, all right? And I take him. And when you accept that, boy, that's the kind of preaching that really pleases men. Guarantee you it pleases God, but it's the only kind that pleases man in the long run.
Right.
You mark her down. One of these days there's going to be some folks that are going to hear, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And they're going to be people that sat in service after service after service where the word of God was not preached. It was not made plain. They were religious, but it wasn't the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was some smooth-talking, man-made doctrine that didn't satisfy and never will. Hey, on the other hand, preaching that just pleases man doesn't please God. Preaching that just pleases man doesn't please God. Hey, if all it does please you, that Paul said, hey, if I just please man, what have I done? Can I say this to you in conclusion tonight? It doesn't always please men to hear that he is a sinner. Doesn't always please a man to hear that he's a sinner and he's in need of a Savior, but it's true.
Amen.
It is true. And it is what he needs to hear, whether he likes to hear it or not. And I'll tell you this, it pleases God when we tell the sinner that.
Amen.
When we talk to the sinner about it, it pleases God. Boy, could I just say, let's not worry about pleasing man.
Yeah.
Let's just worry about pleasing him. Let's just worry about pleasing our Lord. Man, hey, that's what we're worried about. I want some preaching that pleases him. I want to do that kind of preaching. I want you to do that kind of preaching. Preacher, I'm not a preacher. Yeah, you are. One-on-one, trying to win people to the Lord. You're a preacher. You're a preacher. Now, hey, I can give you some encouraging words. You only have to have one sermon. You only have to prepare one sermon. Now, if you came week after week, service after service, and you heard the same sermon over and over again, how long would you keep coming? Even if you liked me, you would say, I can't take any more of that. I've had all I can handle. I mean, I'll just send my cardboard cutout because it's going to hear the same thing I've heard. Well, good news is, as the preaching God wants you to do, you only got to have that one sermon.
Right.
You only got to be able to tell that lost sinner, hey, listen, you're a sinner. The Bible says you are. We all are. And there's a price on that sin. That price is death, not just physical death, but an eternal death in hell.
Right.
But man, I got good news.
Amen.
Jesus Christ came to this earth and he paid the price for your sin. And if you'll trust him, he'll save your soul. You'll trust him. If you can just get one sermon down, you'll be all right. You'll be all right. Now, I just want to say this to you. We ought to be preaching to please, but not men. God. We're to please him. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us tonight. Help us see the truth of the Word of God. Lord, help us to see there's a lot of preaching that goes on, or what passes for preaching doesn't do anything but please men. It makes them feel good where they are. But Lord, what we need is that preaching that stirs us from where we are to take us to where we need to be. And Lord, I pray you'd deal with our hearts. Deal with us about doing the preaching we need to do, one-on-one to other people, the neighbor at the grocery store, down at the garage, Lord, just down the street. Lord, wherever we go, people need to hear the gospel. They need to hear the truth. Lord, I pray you'd speak to them. I pray you'd help us to preach that preaching that pleases you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.